Hour of Wilde and Tausch begins now, and it begins with our prize picks of the week.
Do we have an open for that? I didn't check with Jesse.
We do.
Ahead of
numbers
time.
Game.
Numbers game.
I think it's a numbers game hotkey. Yeah, I knew I should have went in studio today because I love working those hotkeys.
Watch this. We're back.
I appreciate the fact that he just owned it right away. It's part of Riley's charm. There's the music. That's it right there. The music.
We're back. Prize picks of the week. I also had to scroll down to find the area on the show sheet. This segment could have gotten off to a better start, but we're going to keep rolling. Jordan Love, more or less than 258.5 passing yards. Tausch, we'll hear from you first.
Oh, is this where I answer? Am I supposed to answer here, or should I?
Oh my gosh.
I think less. I think Jordan has been good. I think with some of his less than wise decision making, and with the fact that I do believe the Green Bay Packers are going to have a lot of success running the football, I think we're going to see a limited amount of big throws this weekend. And in that turn, I think 253 is going to be a little bit less than that. I think he'll end up in that 220 to 240 range. Less for me.
I'm with Tausch on that one. Less. Next.
All righty. Kyler Murray, more or less than 214.5 passing yards.
So the fascinating part to these games and prize picks and their projections is you have to kind of get an idea of what you feel like the flow of the game is going to be. And everything, when you look at the numbers, tells you this should be less. Because he has not thrown for more than 215, I don't think, but one time. Maybe he snuck over it twice. But I believe Green Bay is going to pounce a little bit here. And I believe they're going to be scrambling a little bit here. And I believe that Jeff Hafley's defense, we saw it last week in that second-to-last drive, was the most disappointing drive of the day for me watching that defense. And with how they're going to have to rush Kyler, I think he's going to go more. Mm-hmm. I think he's got like 250 in him. And the fact that I think Green Bay is going to win this game by a couple scores, I think they're going to be chasing. And when you're chasing. Like Seattle did last night, you're going to end up with a lot of passing yards, even though a lot of them are empty passing yards.
I'm chasing Wilde, and I've got your report on what the Arizona Cardinals will have to do offensively. I don't believe that. I think Kyler Murray's going to have a rough go of it. I think we're going to be writing and talking after the game about how the defense played extremely well in this game. I have that inkling, that Spidey sense. So I'm going to go less. Next.
Just like Paula with the birth of your first child. Sticking with Kyler Murray, more or less than 33.5 rushing yards.
Jason, you go first on this one.
More. I think that is, again, where his production will be, but it will not be enough to beat the Packers. But he's going to break loose for a run or two. I think I'm going to go more there.
Yeah, it's the one I'm most curious about because I think that's your biggest indicator as far as how the game is going to go. And I do believe Jeff Hafley is going to have a plan. Now, those plans, when you have great athletes, those plans can get thrown out the window. But what I love about this group so far, and Bullard, your guy, Micah Hyde Jr., Evan Williams, the safeties are just better than what we've seen. And that is a big point of how you can slow down a run game with the quarterback. Your secondary has to be tacklers. I'm going less because I do think Green Bay is going to win this game in a semi-big way. That's why I'm going to go less.
Before we get to the next one, can I ask about your strategy on prize picks briefly? Or is that like proprietary information you don't want people to know about?
No, I love. Listen, I want everyone to win on prize picks. So I win sometimes, I lose sometimes.
So when you're looking at a menu of choices, there are ones that you have no idea. Like, you really don't have a good... So you just avoid those, right? That's why you're not doing the six-piece nuggies, because it's hard to get all six right. So, like, is that one that you would avoid?
Kyler, this week I'm not touching. That's why I wanted you to go first. I think I always look for the little deals that they throw at you. Try to steal one. And then, which games do I feel the best about the result that I believe? And I'm not right all the time, but if you know and can figure that component out, you have a good idea on how many throws someone's going to have, how, you know, Daniel Jones was good for me early in the season, but he stung me a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I didn't anticipate the New York Giants bouncing back the way they have. I give Daboll a ton of credit. That's how I look at it. I like to see the popular ones where other people are looking, but to me, it's all about the vibe of the game, and if I feel like I got a good sense of that, that's when I look at which players are going to benefit from the way I feel the vibe of that game's going to go.
All right, Riley, let's do one more.
All righty. Interesting that you both went less on Kyler Murray, because I think that's actually the most picked one this week for the Cardinals. It has a little flame next to it. Like 15,000 people have bet on that one. Let's go with this. Romeo Doubs, more or less than 44.5 receiving yards.
This is tough. Less all day. No, it's not. I don't know his dresses.
Stirring the pot. Thank you very much.
Now, the deal
we
is,
talked about him in an hour.
Had to get back.
The deal is that we don't know if he's even going to suit up. I would guess that he will. I would get, and this is the fascinating part of this, and I know people are sick of it. I mean, it's not that I don't care, but I'm going to keep talking about it. Is Jordan Love going to try to, as a leader on this team, try to make sure he's getting back and ready to roll with us? So is he going to maybe even look to target him a little bit more?
Yes.
Or is he going to say, until you're contrite and show I'm not getting you the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know what kind of – like, if Aaron Rodgers was my quarterback this week, I would go less and feel really good about it. He ain't getting him the ball. Jordan Love, I don't know with his relationship and with the way he's going, I don't know what his mentality is going to be on that, but I'm going to go less because I am thoroughly unimpressed with the way he handled this week. So I'm going to go less, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
Those are our prize picks of the week.
Jason,
and you can play along on prize picks.
No, he's so afraid now of the chat. He's afraid of the YouTube chat getting after him about Romeo Doubs.
I see.
Didn't bring him up. Had nothing to do with it. Tausch, tell us a little bit more about your love of prize picks so we can get to our Steinhoffel sleepers of the week.
Is it? But, Jason, you'll admit, my point on Rodgers versus Jordan throwing the football.
It was a great point. It was.
Thank you.
I mean, I had
and so
whole...
is prize picks. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I had a whole Romeo-related Rodgers take that I thought might have influenced the way things have gone this week. But I appreciate not having to give it because you're talking about prize picks.
Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 10 million users. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. And all you do, pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections, watch the winnings roll, and get in on the daily action with your friends and become part of the Prize Picks community today. You can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. Prize Picks is the best way to win real money this season. Make your picks in less than 60 seconds and turn your sports opinions into real money all season long on Prize Picks. Sign up today. Get $50 instantly when you play a $5 deal. Don't even need to win to receive that $50. It's guaranteed. Download the app today. Use code WI to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Use code WI for that $50 instantly with your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. Run
your
game.
Our Steinhoffel sleepers of the week are next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Switch on the sky and the stars glow for you. Go see the world because it's all so brand new. Don't close your eyes because your future's ready. Welcome to the rhythm of the night.
Elk is all ready for the next segment of the program. Totally and completely prepared for our Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week, presented by Steinhoffels. We had such a great time last Friday at Steinhoffels with Andrew Steinhoffel.
Was that only last Friday?
Chad Dern and Danny.
This month is the turtle, man. This is a turtle month, brother. Wow.
And as you heard while we were there that long 7 days ago for Tausch, Steinhoffels is celebrating its 90th anniversary throughout the whole month of October, and that's what makes it great, is it's a really slow month, so you really get to appreciate their 90th anniversary. And right now, you can shop Steinhoffel's Friends and Family Sale, which will allow you to take up to $300 off a qualified purchase, or take advantage of Steinhoffel's 36-month 0% financing and get a $200 MasterCard rewards card. The Steinhoffel's Friends and Family Sale, and it ends on Monday. So shop in-store or online at steinhoffels.com. Time now for our Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week. Don't sleep,
you gotta stay up. Hey there, sleepyhead. Wakey, wakey.
Okay, campers, rise and shine.
It's time for the Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week on Wilby and Tausch.
It is time for the Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week, and Riley will get to participate in it as well. But even though he claims he respects the decisions of the 565 Analytics Collective, you heard him again earlier in today's program. Not so subtly reference what a productive game Emmanuel Wilson had, and still questioning whether or not Jesse should have won last week. Jesse, does Riley's pick count for Jesse's total, or
no,
does
Jesse's
Jesse
off? He
send in his other, or does he just forfeit? What is this? What
he
happens?
He forfeits this week. You know, that's how this works. So okay. Jesse will not be. He's got
zero.
A big lead though, so it's not that big a deal. So Riley Yauch is stepping into the breach. And Riley, I'm going to let you go first, which we never do on this show.
Whoa.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah, he's doing a good job.
Hey,
he's
thank you.
Taking accountability for errors. I appreciate what Riley's doing today.
Thank you, Tausch. I appreciate that. Hopefully less errors to come in the future. But for my Steinhoffel's Sleeper of the Week, I'm going to go with the Narv Dog. He was perfect last week, made all three of his extra points, hit a 46-yard field goal. I think this could be his breakout game where he reestablishes, I am kicker number one, don't cut me, don't replace me. I think, let's just say, throw it out there, perfect extra points, he's going to hit three field goals as well.
Wow.
One is going to be 50-plus. Narv Dog's back this week.
Well, that would be $3,000 from Steinhoffels to Special Spaces Wisconsin as well. You know, I'm always rooting for Narv Dog to be hitting field goals to help Steinhoffel support Special Spaces Wisconsin. All right, so he's got the Narv Dog. Tausch, who you got?
Yeah, I like that. That's a good pick, Riley. And I hope it comes true, because I think I'm going to prize picks Narvy again. He's back in my good graces.
Just not Kyler Murray.
I'm torn on this because it's getting to be difficult on offense to pick a guy because, Jaden Reed, you can't pick Jaden Reed. He's the number one wideout. He's doing this. And it's a fair criticism. That's the beauty of this team growing up in front of us. But I mentioned this young man earlier. He has been quiet so far this season. I think he's going to have a big game. Old 97. Kenny J. Clark is going to have a day, and I think he's going to be very impactful. And I just hope the analytics firm make sure they look at the film and study what happens in there, because not everything shows up with gaudy stat lines.
Oh, here we go. Already.
Did Emmanuel Wilson do a great job on blitz pickup last week? He did. Did that get counted when they tabulated? I don't know. I don't know what they did. I'm not criticizing them. I'm just saying, did they look at the film?
Clearly not.
I'm not going to criticize.
Did they notice him on blitz pickup?
Well, is it not
really?
Important? Is it important? Jason, what do coaches look for when they're looking at their backup running backs? What's the most important thing when they have a $220 million quarterback?
Protecting the quarterback, yeah.
There you go. So, again, I'm not going to criticize the analytics firm. I would love that data that I asked for on Jesse's Showtime since he's skinny on air. That's the other thing I'm looking for. But I'm going Kenny Clark. I think he's going to have an impactful day.
Okay. I understand that we've kind of changed the dynamic of the Steinhoffel Sleeper of the Week, but the entire concept when it began 8.5 years ago was picking obscure players and predicting that they would have an impact on the game.
Correct.
I will continue to follow that protocol and pick my favorite fellow Chipotle aficionado who is going to have more opportunities because Luke Musgrave is headed for injured reserve. Ben Sims, now the number two tight end. I wonder if he's enjoying the brisket that they have on special right now at Chipotle. Ben Sims, more opportunities. Still, clearly, this is Tucker Kraft's world at tight end, and the rest of us are just living in it. But a opportunity for Ben to have a much larger role. Played 20-ish snaps last week against the Rams. Going to play again that kind of a rotation as the number two tight end in this game. Maybe old Ben gets another touchdown. He had one last year. Maybe this is the game where he gets one this year. All right, those are our Steinhoffel's Sleepers of the Week. We will have those on our social media channels. And as you always know, the Steinhoffel social media team chimes in. Chad Dern, see who you're picking. Danny, the whole crew over there. Great time last week, and thanks again for your hospitality. We had a wonderful time. Except for when that guy was going to follow me into the bathroom. All right, that is our Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week. Next, he ain't no sleeper, and he's awake again on Twitter. He's gotten back into his account. It is Rob Domofsky on Wilde and Tausch. He's next, so stick around. He's back, baby. You're seeing him on Twitter again. And his 160,000 followers. He's not having to send his videos to Adam Schefter and Field Yates. He's back, baby! He is Rob Domofsky. And he's back on Wilde and Tausch like he is every Friday as well. Hey, buddy, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're great. I am curious if you have any recollections of Packers-Cardinals matchups. I know you have a Cardinals NFL Nation beat writer that you're good friends with that covers the team there. Obviously, our friend Darren Urban is coming to town with the Cardinals. We're going to go have – I'm actually going to do something socially tonight. We're going to go out to dinner. But when you think back, we were doing a walk down memory lane with these games. And I know you were at all these too, whether it was the Mike McCarthy gets fired game, whether it's the Jeff Janis game at the end of that game in the playoffs. Is it the 2009 playoff game that sticks out the most for you of all the Packers-Cardinals games that were surprisingly interesting?
Yeah, the, what was it, 51-45, something like that?
Yeah, nailed it. Yeah, right? Yes, sir.
Although I do remember the game, although I still to this day don't know that I've gotten a great look at that play because it was like 180 yards away from where we were in the press box. I literally turned to Pete Doherty and I go, what just happened after the Cardinals won the game? Yeah, I mean, like, I still think that probably single image that I have, it seems like all the memories are from down there. The single lasting image I have is Larry Fitzgerald in overtime taking that little short catch and run and getting down to the whatever yard line and thinking, wow, it just like all that work to come back in that playoff game with all those crazy plays and guys getting hurt and Jeff Janis, and then it was over in an instant.
Demarius Randle will do that to you.
Yes, he will.
So, Rob, even more so than that foggy, snowy, cloudy day where the terrible Cardinals came in and got Mike McCarthy, it was Mike McCarthy's last game as a Packer head coach?
Yeah, I mean, there was nothing remarkable about the game, Tausch. Like, that's the thing. The night was obviously crazy, but, I mean, the game was so unremarkable. Did Mason miss a field goal late
he
or something?
Did. That's he did.
The only thing I can even think of is that he missed a field goal late. And it sort of reminded me of what Aaron said on McAfee, probably the only thing that he said that was sensical in his interview on Tuesday, where he said, look, if I would have played better in the game, you know, in London, just Robert probably wouldn't have gotten fired. If Mason Crosby makes that kick, you know, Mike probably doesn't get fired. I mean, maybe he gets fired at the end of the year, but which I think not that he would have been okay with, but, you know, in talking to Mike shortly after and even in the years since, like, I don't think he was necessarily, like, surprised that he was going to get let go, just that it happened that night and the way it did. So, you know, I guess, Tausch, that's the only thing I can remember about that game was Mason.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, let's fast forward to today and the world we live in currently. And what has this week been like for you as you've covered this?
Rob, he won't bring up the name of the wide receiver that missed all last week, was suspended because three people on YouTube said, stop talking about Romeo Doubs. This is – can you – from your perspective, Jason's done it a little bit longer than you, but not much.
By 1 year.
You guys are
one season.
You guys are 50-some years into this. Has there ever been something like this happen to a Packers team with a player of his magnitude? Has this ever happened in your tenure?
Not like at this point in the season. We've had training camp holdouts. I mean, you know, Freeman held out once. The Dorsey Levens held out. Did Mike McKenzie?
Oh,
I don't know if that was during. Was that during the season though? That might have actually been. Did
he got hurt?
Games?
I think he got hurt, quote unquote.
Yes, no, he liked Devontae Adams' hamstring.
Yeah, right. Hold in. But like, no, Tausch. And like, first of all, like, who on YouTube says we can't? Is this that we can't mention his name? That I missed.
I think Judy. I think there was a Judy. Maybe I don't know.
Judy you'd have to ask Life Jason. Books. Look, here's the thing. I just let me just clarify. I think it's important to talk about. I was going to talk about it with you. Was I steering a little bit into the skid with the joke? Yes. My issue is people are sick of this story. The problem, Rob, for both of us, is that didn't address the team. Hasn't spoken publicly to the media. There are players in that locker room who, A, were very worried about him because no one in the NFL just doesn't show up for work without at least calling and saying, hey, screw you guys. I don't like my role. I'm not coming into work today.
Royal Tausch.
That's what I was channeling. It's just so bizarre that neither of us who've done this as long as we have dealt with it. And the question that you and I think need to ask one of us is he going to play on Sunday?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's a great question. My suspicion is that he will, and my suspicion is that Christian Watson won't, just with the ankle injury. I mean, Christian didn't do team on Wednesday. But here's the thing that surprised me. I mean, there's been a lot of surprises along the way from, you know, Bill's story on Friday night to the suspension on Saturday. To him, you know, really not, you know, talking at all on Wednesday when, you know, the natural thing would have been to address it right away. There's been, from his camp, whether it's him, his agent, who has not returned any messages, not just to me, but he hasn't returned messages to anybody, and that includes the national people, there's been no damage control done on Romeo Doubs' side, which that, to me, might be the craziest thing in this whole deal, is that dude, explain, like, control the narrative. Like, that's professional sports, right? Like, athletes and teams want to control the narrative. And Romeo Doubs hasn't done that. No one on his
team. Why hasn't he, Rob? Why hasn't he?
it's a great question, Tosh. It could, maybe it's because he's still pissed. I don't know. Like, maybe
fairly certain that's what it is.
He's not. He's back, but he's back reluctantly. You know, that could be it. So, but like, and look, I don't want to joke because I mean, you know, maybe he's got a mental health, you know, situation, which I totally, you know, totally could be understandable. But if it was a mental health situation, there's no way, knowing Brian Gutekunst like we do, there's no way that his statement would have been as strong as
right.
it was in terms of him not, you know, being doing the right thing if there was a mental health issue. There's just no way that they would have come out with a statement that strong.
So if Christian Watson is healthy, I don't know how that factors in. Like, they played with four wide receivers last week, right? If they don't play Dobbs and they don't play Watson because of his ankle injury, which I think you're going to be proven right again with your – I think he's going to go out there before the game and do a really hard workout. Christian Watson's going to. And then he won't play because you're on top of that theory.
Jair was working as hard as anybody before the game on Sunday in L.A., by the way.
So that gives you hope that he plays.
Yes. Yeah, I think Jair will play this week. But yeah, I would agree with you. My suspicion is that Watson doesn't play. I still think Dobbs is going to play. I don't have any real, like, I don't have any, you know, facts to support that. It's just a gut feeling. I mean, right, he's not on the injury report, right? Is that right?
Correct.
So, and I don't know what you'd put him on the injury report with, but if he's not going to play, I guess he could be a healthy scratch, I suppose. I mean,
right.
It seems like you don't see that very much with star players anymore. I just hope that for the sake of the storyline, that they all don't play and they make Bo Melton inactive when he has a chance to play against his brother Max, because that would be a shame.
Bo Melton will play.
Oh yeah, I mean he's been active every game, but just trying to lighten the mood.
So my question to LaFleur is essentially, do you feel like Romeo's in the right headspace to play in the game on Sunday?
Play. Yeah, no, I totally agree. And my guess is, I mean, he'll probably say, well, you know, we'll see how the rest of the week goes. Yeah. And, you know, Romeo's...
See how he wakes up on Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been here. He's so far, you know, done the right things. But, you know, we'll see how it goes up to game time. That's my suspicion. And maybe he really needs – maybe there's still something Romeo needs to show him and show the team in order to play. I don't know. That's the crazy thing about this situation is that, like, here we are – I guess it's a week later, right? And we're more than a week, and we still really don't know, you know, exactly – no one's really said anything. No one's explained anything. And that is a part of it that I guess makes you wonder. Maybe you're right. Maybe – Jason, until you brought it up, I hadn't really considered that he wouldn't play. But maybe he won't.
Yeah, it will be interesting, and I know you two will get to the bottom of it because that's what you two do, you rascals.
That's all right, Rob. Thing that we need to do today. That's the sole
purpose. That's all we need from you guys. So Jair's going to play, correct? You feel good about Jair playing?
I do, yeah.
And you have now jumped on the – what I thought when Wilde said it wasn't his bold-a-thon move, which he should have said, but the Xavier McKinney train, everybody's on it. You're now, I think your article, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I read you all the time, Rob. I don't miss you.
Oh, somebody does.
Xavier McKinney, Reggie White, Charles Woodson.
Julius Peppers.
LeBron. Cool. No, not LeBron James.
All right. So, like, those are, to me, you know, the top of the top free agents. But, boy, I'll tell you what, I mean – I will say we thought Za'Darius Smith his first year belonged in that conversation too. So, you know, you got to be careful. But, I mean, really, Tausch, like, who else belongs on that Mount Rushmore of free agents that the Packers have signed more than, I mean, you know, obviously it's only five games, but, and he's not going to get 17 picks. Like, let's just say that. Let's get that over with. He's not going to get a pick every game. Of course, I said that last week too, I think. But, like, right now, if you look at free agency, you know, I know there were years where people obviously were so mad that they didn't sign any free agency, so it's not like it's a gigantic group, but
that's true.
You know, Xavier McKinney, man, like, I don't know that I can see. I wasn't here when Reggie first got here. I obviously saw what Reggie did towards the end of his time here, but I mean, who else has made this kind of an impact that they brought in as a high-priced free agent? Most of the time, you know, those guys fizzle out. And maybe X will. Maybe he'll have a really good year, finish with 9 or 10 picks, and then, you know, next year he doesn't play that great, and then the third year when he's got a huge March roster bonus, they let him go. I don't know, but, I mean, right now it's kind of fun to sit around and talk about, like, where is this coming from? How has he done this? And, you know, what does it mean historically in the Packers' sort of roster acquisition phase of free agency? That's just really, it's remarkable. And the other thing, too, I think about it is, and you think about all those guys, they were all, I don't want to say big personalities, because that comes off as a negative connotation. I don't mean it that way at all. But they were leaders.
Presence.
They were well-respected. And Xavier is exactly that. Like, you know, and then, you know, Julius was a little bit more understated in the way he did it. But I don't know that I saw many players come in with more credibility and with more respect of other people in the locker room than Julius Peppers. He's one of my all-time most interesting, like, favorite guys to talk to, even though he didn't love to talk to us. But I'll never forget the game in Carolina when Aaron came back after the collarbone in 2018 and Peppers had gone back to Carolina to finish up. And he had that, I don't know if it was a sack, but he had a chance to really level Rodgers in that game, his first game back from the collarbone. And he kind of cushioned the blow a little bit. And I ran into Peppers in the concourse at the Bank of America Stadium on my way back up to the press box, and he stopped and talked, and I said, did you kind of take it easy on A-Rod there? And he goes, I didn't want to hurt him. He's like, you know, poor guy, just come back. And, like, to me, those are guys that have things that are special. And from what we know of Xavier McKinney, it's only been, what, six, seven months since he got here. He has that special quality of respect, leadership, play on the field, all that stuff that you would want out of a big-time free agent.
So, Rob, would you say that McKinney in five games is already more impactful than Julius Peppers?
I mean, I would have to look back at how Pep started his first five games. But, like, to me, his impact was across the board. Oh,
no. Mount Rushmore. You brought up Mount Rushmore, yep. Not me.
Right. Well, who else? Okay, Taos, who else is there then? I mean, who are you?
I don't know. Mark Reggie. Golden? I mean, Reggie's there. Charles is there.
Adrian Clem.
Oh, man. Matt O'Dwyer.
Matt O'Dwyer, who didn't even win the job at training camp. Man, Jeff Saturday.
He's a Pro Bowler when he was here.
After he got benched, yeah.
In case you were wondering, Julius Peppers, in his first five games with the Green Bay Packers, he did have, in his fifth game, that interception that he returned for a touchdown.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that? He only had 1.5 sacks, 7 quarterback hits, 5 tackles for loss. But look,
he had a pretty good run in Green Bay. They should have kept him another year.
Oh, what a
opinion.
Mistake
I think
that was.
Aaron Rodgers believes that.
Definitely.
Rob, is Rashawn Gary going to get this thing turned around? I know our Twitter, Jason, who's the guy that tweeted us last night, which I thought was an interesting tweet. He acknowledged something, and I know Rob's back on Twitter now, about Nick Bosa and the impact he had, even though he has not had the sacks. What are you – did you get a chance to talk to Rashawn this week, or what's the vibe about with him and the pass rush going forward?
Zach.
I thought the most informative thing that I've seen, Taush, on what's going on with Rashawn Gary was – your old buddy Mike Wall had a really good breakdown, and Mike does a pretty good job with this stuff. And he had a breakdown of why he thought Rashawn wasn't being impactful. And the first thing he mentioned in that was speed. His speed off the edge is not there, and because of the lack of speed, the technique that he's using to set up guys isn't working. I'm going to paraphrase here, but he kind of basically said he's too high and wide, and that's great if you can just blow by somebody. But to me, it sounded like, and he never used this word leverage, but to me, it sounded like, you know, a leverage issue wasn't low enough. If you're going to use that kind of a pass rush technique, you got to really get low. And it's almost like getting around a screen in basketball. Like, the lower you are, the better chance you have of getting around it. And I thought Mike's breakdown of Rashawn Gary was spot on. And I thought it was really informative. Does he turn it around? I mean, you would hope so, but if he's just using, I don't know what Jason Rebrovich, their D-line coach, is telling them. But if he's not trying something different, if he's just going out there and trying to do the same old thing every week, then I don't know that it's going to get any better. But, I mean, these guys are you know, you would think they have enough coaches in there that if Mike Wall can see it, then I would think those guys would be able to see it too. But they've got to do something different with him. There's no question. Now, here we are, though, back, Tausch, again, with a quarterback this week who, you know, it's going to be hard to rush. He's averaging 10.7 yards per rush, I believe, mm-hmm. Kyler Murray.
Wow.
I think the next best quarterback rush yards per rush is, like, in the 7 range. So, like, that's a huge deal in this game. And so I don't know if he's going to be able to, you know, turn those guys loose and, you know, and be able to do, you know, give it the Will Levis.
Got to keep him in that pocket. Better keep – make him beat you from the pocket. That was the key to the game, and I'm sure that's what Jeff Hafley's looking at too.
All right, Rob, we'll let you get ready for practice. Keep us updated. It was great to see you at a practice. It was great that I was able to attend one this week. It was fun to be around you, but we'll see who's out there. Last thing quickly, with Luke Musgrave going on IR, what do you kind of see at the tight end spot? I picked Ben Sims as my Steinhoffel sleeper of the week.
Ben had the touchdown last year. Was it against Kansas City or Minnesota? I can't remember. It was one of the bigger games. I felt like he had a touchdown catch, and like we saw in training camp, I mean, the guy caught everything, you know, although Rashawn Gary sacked the quarterback every 5 plays in training camp too. So maybe it doesn't matter, but yeah, I mean, look, you know, you just hope that Tucker Kraft can stay healthy, because I mean, he's been banged up with, you know, he's still got the red jersey on because of the shoulder, mm-hmm. The pec injury. I've said it before though. And I said it, I thought it again, as we talked to him at his locker yesterday. I think this guy's got everything to be a star in this, you know, in this league. The personality, the cockiness, the play on the field. I think he's got all you want.
Yeah, he's been impressive. There's no doubt about it. All right, Rob, I'll see you at Lambeau in a little bit. Thanks.
All right, we'll see you.
That is our guy, Rob Domofsky. You can read him. He's got a good story on Xavier McKinney at ESPN.com.
Yeah, his stuff's so good.
And ESPN.
Jason, I know you. I'm pretty sure you read it consistently. His stuff's really good. He does a good job.
Great writer.
He's got a Tucker Kraft piece coming out that I cannot wait to read.
I got a McKinney story, too. You can read that at Madison.com. And on Sunday, you can read about Tucker Kraft in your Wisconsin State Journal. More Will D. Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
I remember the nights when we were young, dumb, and wild, and free. When I closed my eyes, I could see you in my sweatshirt. Dancing around.
We'll get to the 11 o'clock hour here momentarily, but I just want to circle back, not because I'm writing about him on Sunday, but do you get that same vibe as Rob does about Tucker Kraft? Because I totally get where he's coming from. There's just something about him, but that's a tough position to sustain health and high level play. But if there's a guy that can do it, I tend to agree with Rob. He's the guy.
Yeah, I liked him obviously because, you know, I had talked with Kochak about him, and when Green Bay drafted him, mm-hmm. he was really excited, and I think it's the beauty of the draft, and it's also kind of the fun of watching the medial industrial complex
mm-hmm.
go through, because I watched the slow motion catches of Musgrave.
Right.
And oh my God, look at this. And that's how this world works. And you're always, you run to things and you think, oh my God, this guy's going to be the next coming. You know, he is going to be this and this. But Tucker Kraft, you just always sense like he was going to get better. And when you play at a smaller school and you're not going against the top of the top every week, you don't get tested the same. So maybe there's a little bit longer development period. But, man, I thought you saw him come on last year. And, unfortunately, he was, you know, popped a pec in, you know, preseason or in mm-hmm. The workout season. So he's just coming on, and you do worry about the injury because his attitude and the way he plays. I know you compared him to Chewy. Somebody else compared him to Mark Bavaro. I just remember Bavaro running people over him.
Mm-hmm.
He's a lot more athletic than Mark Bavaro. He is a really good athlete, and he's a very willing blocker. We have our guy. He is going to be TE1 for a while, as long as he stays healthy. Mm-hmm. And you sensed that last year, and I had a hunch he was going to be a one of these breakout stars on this team, and he has proven to be, I think, outside of Jaden Reed, obviously Xavier McKinney, but that's a different animal. He's
agreed.
Been a big-time
yeah.
player already. Mm-hmm. Tucker Kraft is the breakout star of this season, and he's just getting started. It's fun.
It is very fun, and he is a very fun player to watch. Speaking of fun, a week from today, I will be at the Associated Bank branch inside Titletown, and we'll be doing Will D.
Like 2 weeks
live.
I don't feel like
from
2 weeks
there.
This month is going.
Speaking of,
by the way, I love the fact that this month is just dragging. It is so nice when that actually you actually can feel that, because it's almost always the opposite of that.
It is absolutely almost the opposite always of that. Speaking of tight ends, I believe scheduled to appear one of your old teammates, Andrew Corliss, is the Packers alumni player who could be joining us from Titletown. So be sure if you're in the area to swing by from 9 to noon and visit the Associated Bank Titletown branch and find out all the great things that I tell you about all the time about Associated Bank. Their great customer service, early pay, having access to your direct deposit up to 2 days early, and, of course, Packers checking from Associated Bank. So go to AssociatedBank.com to find out more, and then go to Titletown and come see Jesse and me at Titletown on Friday, a week from today. Associated Bank, your money works here. The 11 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch kicks off in 2 minutes, so stick around.